Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You're watching a Highwire Media podcast.
Welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps show. As always, I'm your host, Larry Lace. Today's episode, we're diving into the Zodiac in pop culture. Before we do that, of course, give me your thoughts in the comment section below. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button, like button, hit the bell notification button to be notified of future videos. And with that, let's dive right in. The story of the Zodiac Killer occupies a unique and chilling place in American cultural and criminal history. While the confirmed facts of the case remain few, five known victims and two survivors between 1968 and October 1969, the mythos surrounding the killer has expanded dramatically across books, films, podcasts, music, social media, and even street art. Much of this expansion has occurred without resolution, as the case remains officially unsolved, leaving a fertile ground for speculation, amateur sleuthing, and artistic interpretation. Tonight, we examine how the Zodiac Killer has been represented in pop culture, analyzing the tension between myth and reality. The focus includes an in-depth examination of David Fincher's 2007 film The Zodiac, an analysis of how true crime content and podcasts and video platform extends and reframes the narrative, and a consideration the ethical implications for victims and their families. Ultimately, we're going to explore how pop culture both preserves and distorts the truth, offering memory and mystification in equal measure. The foundation of the Zodiac is built on a series of brutal but poorly understood crimes. Between 1968 and 1969, the killer targeted young couples in Northern California. The first known attack, like we previously mentioned, occurred on December 20th, 1968, when teenagers Betty Lou Jensen and David Faraday were shot and killed while parked on Lake Herman Road near Vallejo. 6 months later, on July 4th, 1969, Darlene Farron and Michael McGue were attacked in a similar fashion at Blue Rock Springs Park. Michael survived, giving the first eyewitness account of the shooter. On September 27th of the same year, Brian Hartnell and Cecilia Shepherd were stabbed at Lake Berryessa. Hartnell survived, while Shepherd died from her injuries. The killer wore a black hood and a bib marked with the now iconic crosshair symbol. The last confirmed Zodiac murder occurred on October 11, 1969, when cab driver Paul Stein was shot in San Francisco's Presidio Heights neighborhood. These attacks from the factual core of the Zodiacs confirmed activity. However, the killer claimed responsibility for up to 37 murders, sending dozens of cryptic letters to regional newspapers between 1969 and 1974. These letters were often signed with the crosshair symbol and contained complex ciphers, threats against schoolchildren, and mocking criticisms of the police. The cryptograms are central to the Zodiac mythology. The first, a 408-character cipher sent in three parts to different newspapers, was cracked by a school teacher and his wife. It revealed a disturbing message about the killer's desire to hunt people and collect slaves for the afterlife. Another cipher, the Z340, remained unsolved for more than 50 years before being cracked in 2020 by a team of codebreakers. Although it contained no new identifying information, its decryption renewed interest in the case and affirmed the Zodiac's cryptic flair. Despite the massive attention the case received, law enforcement was never able to definitively identify a suspect. Over 2,500 individuals were investigated, but none were charged. The most frequently named suspect, Arthur Lee Allen, was linked to the case by a series of circumstantial factors, including eyewitness reports, criminal background, and alleged confessions to friends. However, Allen's handwriting did not match the Zodiac's, and neither did DNA retrieved from envelopes believed to have been licked by the killer. Allen died in 1992, and subsequent attempts to link him to the case have been inconclusive. Other theories have emerged over the years, including recent claims by a group known as the Case Breakers, who named Gary Francis Post as a potential suspect. The FBI and San Francisco Police Department, however, continue to treat the case as officially open and unresolved. The absence of resolution contributes to the enduring fascination with the Zodiac. He is a villain without a face, a puzzle with missing pieces, and a canvas onto which culture projects its fears and fascinations. One of the most influential interpretations of the Zodiac case came in the form of a book by Robert Graysmith, a cartoonist who worked at the San Francisco Chronicle during the height of the investigation. Graysmith became obsessed with the case after observing the letters firsthand at the newspaper office. He spent years collecting documents, conducting interviews, and piecing together timelines, eventually publishing Zodiac in 1986 and Zodiac Unmasked in 2002. His book put forward the theory that Arthur Lee Allen was the killer, assembling a web of coincidences and suggestive clues to support this hypothesis. Graysmith's work is gripping and thorough, but it's also deeply subjective. Critics have pointed out that his interpretation relies heavily on circumstantial evidence and speculative links. Nonetheless, his narrative becomes the dominant account of the Zodiac case in the public imagination, influencing both professional investigators and the broader true crime audience. The cinematic adaptation of Graysmith's work, David Fincher's Zodiac, released in 2007, represents one of the most thoughtful and well-researched engagements with the case. Unlike many Hollywood treatments of true crime, Zodiac avoids sensationalism and instead focuses on the frustrating nature of unresolved investigation. The film follows Graysmith, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, reporter Paul Avery, played by Robert Downey Jr., and police inspector David Toshi, played by Mark Ruffalo, as they pursue leads, navigate dead ends, and confront the limitations of both evidence and human memory. Fincher and his team undertook a meticulous research process. They interviewed surviving victims, pored over police reports, and recreated crime scenes with exacting details, even using CGI to replicate the changing San Francisco skyline. The result is a film that, while speculative in its depiction of Allen as the prime suspect, remains grounded in historical fact and refrains from offering closure that reality cannot support. The film has been widely praised for its historical accuracy and its psychological realism. Rather than focusing on the killer's psychology, Fincher explores the impact of the case on those who pursued it. Gyllenhaal's Graysmith becomes consumed by the investigation, alienating his family and descending into obsession. Ruffalo's Toshi grapples with bureaucratic obstacles and public pressure, ultimately resigning himself to ambiguity. Downey's Avery turns to drugs and alcohol, a character arc based on the real journalist's decline. The film's refusal to resolve the case mirrors the true state of affairs and emphasizes the human cost of unsolved violence. In doing so, Zodiac offers a counterpoint to more exploitive true crime narratives. It respects the limits of knowledge and foregrounds the emotional toll on victims, investigators, and amateur sleuths alike. While Fincher's Zodiac is often cited as a paragon of responsible true crime storytelling, much of the Zodiac killer's presence in modern media departs sharply from this approach. The true crime boom of the 2010s and 2020s, fueled by the proliferation of podcasts, streaming documentaries, and YouTube series, has both revived interest in the Zodiac and complicated the boundary between fact and fiction. Shows like Serial Killers, Criminology, Case File, and Unresolved dedicate multiple episodes to the case, with varying degrees of factual rigor. These programs typically blend narration, reenactments, and interview audio, creating an immersive experience for listeners. While they often offer access to a broad audience, they also risk reinforcing speculative theories without thorough vetting. In many cases, they revisit debunked claims or amplify fringe suspects, not necessarily to inform, but to entertain. YouTube as a visual and algorithm-driven platform contributes in its own way to the Zodiac's digital afterlife. Channels such as BuzzFeed Unsolved, That Chapter, and Nexpo often cover the case using dramatic music, moody lighting, and stylized graphics. These formats engage viewers effectively, especially younger audiences who may be unfamiliar with the historical details. However, the need to maintain viewer interest can lead creators to dramatize or exaggerate elements, presenting speculation as narrative certainly. In some cases, these portrayals verge on the mythological, depicting the Zodiac not as a fallible human being, but as a hyper-intelligent enigma, digital age ghost-haunting servers and timelines. The power of the algorithm means that content prioritizing excitement over accuracy is often more visible, which can skew public understanding of the case. Beyond the structural format of podcasts and YouTube videos, the Zodiac Killer has also found a home in internet forums and social media platforms, where armchair detectives congregate to exchange theories and decode clues. Subreddits like Zodiac Killer and Unresolved Mysteries are filled with discussions that range from thoughtful and research-driven to wild speculation. These forums can foster genuine investigative dialogue, with users posting digitized FBI files, analyzing handwriting samples, and creating detailed timelines. But they can also become echo chambers, amplifying unproven.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more with volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Theories and scapegoating individuals. In some cases, people targetedly connected to the case have been harassed due to misidentification or faulty reasoning by online communities. The line between investigation and voyeurism becomes dangerously blurred in these spaces, particularly when real people's lives are impacted by speculative content. Fictional media has also played a significant role in mythologizing the Zodiac. Films like Tom Hansen's The Zodiac Killer took a sensationalist approach, blending lurid storytelling with a promotional campaign designed to lure the actual killer to a screening. Later films and television episodes incorporated Zodiac-like characters without attempting to engage with the real case. For instance, Millennium, Criminal Minds, and American Horror Story have featured characters inspired by or directly referencing the Zodiac, often emphasizing the killer's intelligence, anonymity, and cunning. These portrayals, while compelling in a narrative sense, contribute to the elevation of the Zodiac from historical figure to archetype. As an archetype, the Zodiac becomes a symbol of mystery, of evil, of rebellion against order, and in this transformation, the realities of the case are often lost. Popular music has not been immune to this cultural appropriation. Bands across various genres, from heavy metal to industrial rock, have referenced the Zodiac Killer in lyrics, album artwork, and promotional materials. While some of these references are brief or symbolic, others are more direct, treating the killer as an icon of chaos or an emblem of anti-establishment defiance. This trend further exemplifies the tension between memory and myth. When the Zodiac is invoked in a song or a fashion collection, becomes less a real person responsible for real suffering and more a logo or metaphor. The digital age has produced perhaps the most striking transformation of the Zodiac Killer. Zodiac Killer mythos through memes and viral satire. In 2016, an internet meme suggested that Senator Ted Cruz was the Zodiac Killer, gained unexpected popularity. What began as a satirical jab at Cruz's demeanor and appearance quickly spread across social media platforms. Despite being patently false. Cruz was born in 1970, after the first confirmed Zodiac murders. The meme gained such traction that pollsters began including the question in public opinion surveys. In one poll, 10% of respondents said they believed the meme, and 28% were unsure. This bizarre episode highlights how myth, humor, and misinformation can merge in the digital era. The meme did not merely parody Cruz, it also trivialized the Zodiac's crimes, turning mass murder into a punchline for political satire. Excuse me. Street art, graffiti, and fashion have also incorporated the Zodiac's iconography. The crosshair symbol has been used in murals, clothing, and accessories, often without reference to its origin. In some cases, it is paired with other countercultural imagery signaling rebellion or anonymity, like the Guy Fawkes mask. The Zodiac symbol has been detached from its historical roots and repurposed as a floating signifier. This repurposing is part of what theorists would call the simulacrum, a copy with no original. In this context, the Zodiac becomes less a historical figure than a cipher onto which cultural anxieties are projected. The ethical dimensions of this cultural fascination are substantial and troubling. While it is understandable that unsolved cases provoke curiosity and engagement, there is a fine line between remembrance and exploitation. Survivors of the Zodiac's attacks, such as Brian Hartnell and Michael McGue, have expressed mixed feelings about media coverage. Hartnell has cooperated with documentaries and filmmakers, offering his perspective on the attack at Lake Berryessa. Michael, more private, has given only rare interviews. For both, renewed attention can be a double-edged sword. On the one hand, public interest can keep the case alive, potentially yielding new evidence or leads. On the other hand, each retelling reopens old wounds, especially when speculative content distorts their stories. The families of victims face similar dilemmas. Some relatives find comfort in knowing that their loved ones are remembered and that efforts to solve the case continue. Others experience pain each time the case resurfaces, particularly when media portrayals contain inaccuracies or lean towards dramatization. The commodification of their grief through books, films, t-shirts, and YouTube ads can feel like a betrayal. They become, once again, unwilling participants in a public narrative that they do not control. Their trauma is reinterpreted, commercialized, and sometimes forgotten altogether in favor of the more sensational elements of the story. Academics and media ethicists have increasingly called for a more responsible approach to true crime storytelling. This includes clearly distinguishing between fact and speculation, providing context for creative liberties, and ensuring that survivors' voices are included whenever possible. Ethical storytelling also involves transparency about sources, acknowledgement, or uncertainties, and a refusal to reduce victims to mere props in the heroism of the investigator. David Fincher's Zodiac is often held up as a model in this regard, not because it avoids narrative artistic choices, but because it grounds those choices in extensive research and a deep respect for the complexity of the case. Excuse me. The role of trauma in perpetuating public fascination with the Zodiac Killer also warrants deeper exploration. From a psychological perspective, unsolved crimes like the Zodiac murders tap into primal fears about randomness, anonymity, and the failure of institutions. The killer struck without warning, targeted innocent people in mundane settings, and evaded one of the most intense manhunts in modern American history. These facts create an unsettling contrast between the seemingly normalcy of everyday life and the lurking presence of unpredictable violence. As such, the Zodiac Killer functions not just as a true crime subject, but as a cultural metaphor for lawlessness, for institutional impotence, and for the dark undercurrents of society. The mystery that surrounds him gives rise to endless speculation because it embodies a kind of narrative vacuum, a space where meaning, justice, and resolution should exist, but doesn't. From a sociological standpoint, the persistence of the Zodiac in public consciousness also reflects changes in how society processes crime and storytelling. In earlier eras, unsolved crimes might be relegated to the annals of law enforcement archives. Today, however, the decentralized nature of media and the participatory ethos of digital culture ensures that such cases never fully disappear. Every few years, a new documentary, podcast, or Reddit thread revives the Zodiac discourse, often with the promise of a new clue or theory. This cycle of rediscovery reinforces the myth while distancing audiences further from the original facts. It also perpetuates what some scholars call infotainment, the blending of informational and entertainment content in ways that prioritize engagement over education. At the heart of the Zodiac myth is the interplay between known and unknown. The case is rich in detail, dates, times, locations, quotes, photographs, but those details lead nowhere definitive. The abundance of data paradoxically amplifies uncertainty. This characteristic makes the Zodiac an ideal subject for modern storytelling, where ambiguity is often more compelling than closure. In fact, part of the allure lies in the possibility that someone, somewhere, might still solve the mystery. This promise of discovery, however remote, keeps audiences engaged and justifies ongoing coverage. Yet, with each retelling, the line between investigation and entertainment becomes harder to define. Ultimately, the Zodiac Killer story is not just about murder and mystery. It is about memory. It is about how societies remember trauma, how they narrate uncertainty, and how they assign meaning to the inexplicable. In remembering the Zodiac, we also remember what it means to live in a world where evil can be both ordinary and inscrutable. The cultural representation we create around such figures reveals as much about our own values as they do about the criminals themselves. They show what we fear, what we desire, and what we choose to forget. As the true crime genre continues to evolve, it must grapple with its own ethical and aesthetic foundations. It must ask, what is the purpose of telling these stories? Who benefits from their circulation? What responsibilities do we have to those whose lives are depicted? In the case of the Zodiac, these questions are not hypothetical. They are urgent, and they demand thoughtful answers. The killer may never be brought to justice, but the way we tell his story remains within our control. And that story can be one of voyeurism and exploitation, or it can be one of accountability and remembrance. The choice is ours. So, with that, let me know your thoughts on the Zodiac in pop culture. Like, do you think we've gone too far with it? Or do you still think we should be discussing the Zodiac publicly, whether it's on Netflix, like Spotify podcasts, or YouTube channels? Let me know. And of course, give us a thumbs up if you like our video. Hit that subscribe button down below. Hit the bell notification button to be notified of future videos. And of course, if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS, or just scan the QR code that you see on the screen. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be 50. Physically located in Ohio. TNC supply in-app only.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again, after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please!
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you are sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.